We will call this meeting of the Commerce Committee to order, and we do not officially have a quorum yet, but we will get started with the testimony. We are altering our agenda, the published agenda, just a little bit because Representative Hamilton has other bills up in committee rooms upstairs, so we are going to let him go first. And I will move House File 327 so that it is before us. As soon as we have a quorum, we will vote on a what I understand is a technical amendment to it. And Representative Hamilton, please proceed when you're ready.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. The reason I brought this bill up, actually I introduced this a few years back. I had a constituent from the city of Windom, one of the cities that I represent, and they were wanting to invest in micro distilleries, a couple of them, as a matter of fact. When they learned of a $30,000 annual licensing fee, on here, they said, you must be crazy, meaning all of us. And that could be argued. But what they ended up doing is moving that to a different state, just simply because of the cost of doing business here in the state. And that's how this bill did originate. And even though that's not going to be built in my area anymore, and they did move across the area into another state, I decided to go ahead and introduce this as well. And I'd like to share with you a new member that actually signed on to the bill, Representative Loeffler, and she shares a similar story. And she simply says, the owners of a specific place live in my district and had planned to manufacture their product on within the community. They still are on that same road, but in a different state. Instead, they were forced to Wisconsin because of our $30,000 licensing fee, and now are very successful in growing their business there. And again, members, that was my motivation behind this. That's why I introduced the bill here a while back, and again this year as well. So the bill itself for micro distilleries, instead of paying the $30,000 for these the micro distilleries, you can take a look on page 2, starting on lines 2.38 and goes through 2.41. that identifies them and lists what that fee would be. So that is the basis of the bill. I understand we don't have a quorum, Mr. Chairman, but if you'd like me to speak to the amendment.
Well, Representative Hamilton, we actually had the amendment delivered, but it was the wrong amendment. So we're recopying that, and it will be here in a minute. But you can explain it to us, even though members don't have it in front of them. I don't believe it's controversial, unless you can tell us otherwise.
Yeah. And Mr. Chairman, I have not heard of any controversy. And if there is, I'd just like to ask people to come up and share that with us. This is an amendment that actually was adopted in the Senate. And the information that I received from this is the reason they would like to have this amendment. It's a short amendment, I'll just read it off, that would allow a micro distiller to set not more than 2 1-liter bottles to a person touring the distillery who samples the manufactured product of the micro distillery. I believe I'm speaking to the amendment here. This would allow needed cash income and allow small distillers to get a start. And it lists, what does it list? It also has about a proof gallon. Proof gallon is 1 liquid gallon.
Representative Hamilton, I think that's the wrong amendment as well. Or
oh,
maybe we have two amendments.
Receive?
Well, because we have Mr. McCormick has a different amendment that we need to do to make it technically correct.
Okay.
So maybe what we should do is wait for both of those amendments, let you go, and we can either bring you back or move it. But before we let you go, is there anyone in the audience that wants to speak to this bill, either for or against it? Sir, come on up, identify yourself for the record, and please speak to the bill or to the amendments, and we'll try to get this straightened out.
Thank you, Mr.
If you could identify yourself for the record, and please
Ross,
proceed.
First name Ross, R-O-S-S, Pletzer, P-L-A-E-T-Z-E-R. We only learned about this hearing yesterday. A couple of people are going to try to get here. Nick Smith, who is with the testifying at the Senate, wrote the gallon proof amendment, he's with the University of Minnesota Extension working on grapes that grow here. Another is a grape grower from Winona who testified in front of the Senate, and another is a gentleman who has the first farm winery license in Minnesota. things are moving so fast, we're not able to keep up with them. But the amendment about proof is a technical one.
Okay.
The licensing fee dropping from $30 to $2,000 or whatever it currently is proposed at, much lower, mm-hmm. will certainly bring in much-needed micro distilleries. The amendment that I think is being offered here about being able to sell your own product is the key one that we testified in front of the Senate. We got sort of uncertain feedback. We gave them some ideas, and we hadn't heard from Representative Gerlach or his assistant, Aaron, although it appears that that bill will be part of the omnibus liquor bill in the Senate.
Mr. Pletcher, was that the amendment from the Senate that dealt with proof gallons?
Yes, that's okay. The only one I know of. I don't know about the other being able to sell product, but the key thing is you have to be able to sell your own product. The farm winery fellow who lives down in St. Croix said he's working on using apples and other things to make fruit distilled products. Distilled products are hard liquors, brandies, bourbons, gin. He's going to have to move to Wisconsin unless he can sell his own product here. That's me. Tour, yes. Right. The key thing is we're not trying to upset the three-tier system. We merely want to be able to sell a couple of bottles to people who come to tour the facility and get word of mouth going. The problem is distributors who are in the middle of the three-tier system do not want to get involved with new upstart distilleries until their products have a proven base. The only way to do that is to win an award or get word of mouth going so that people want it. They'll go to their local liquor store and say, we want to get that product, or they'll go to a local bar and say, we'd like you to stock this product. Until that happens, there's no way to get word of mouth. There's also no way to raise cash, which you need in the beginning, to sell gin or vodka. It doesn't have an aging process, so we're grateful that Representative Hamilton took out the four-year barreling process. So if there is an amendment, we'd certainly like it to be adopted that you could sell a limited amount of your own product on the premises. We'd certainly like more than that, but that at least will help small distilleries get going and get cash flow.
Representative Hamilton and Mr. Pletcher, do you have a copy now of the A1 amendment?
I do not, Mr. Chair.
Could you, well, I'll ask if any of the members have any questions for you or for the author, and then we can act on the A1.
Yes.
If you two want to talk and make sure that amendment is the one that you were looking at.
Visiting with the testifier, he says yes. This is the one that was offered in
okay.
the Senate.
The Senate adopted that one at the beginning of the hearing.
Okay, so this is the one that we wanted, and then we have one more coming from, that's the technical one for Mr. McCormick. Members, do we have any questions on this particular, the A1 amendment? I will move the A1 amendment so it is properly before us. Representative Nelson, did you have a question? Any other questions? I don't see anything else on this. All those in favor of the A1 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The A1 amendment is adopted. Representative Nelson, did you have a question to the bill? And we still have one more technical amendment that I believe is still being copied.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I guess I'm reading the bill that we're lowering the fee for microbreweries. Does this need a fiscal note? Because we're actually lowering the amount of money the state might be getting in from these microbreweries, and has the fiscal note been requested?
Representative Nelson, I think I can give you an answer to that, and we can go to Mr. McCormick, but I believe we're not losing any money because we never made any money on this. We're actually going to make a little bit of money because the hope is that now distilleries would stay here and spend a small amount of money rather than be faced with paying $30,000 and leaving for Wisconsin or other states. But we can let Mr. McCormick tell you if I just screwed that up.
Mr. Chair, that was exactly correct.
That's price, price.
Okay, I have now been informed that we have no more amendments to this bill. Evidently, this amendment takes care of the technical changes. Once again, is there anyone in the audience that wants to testify for or against this bill? Sir, come on up.
I'm Lee Golicky from Stillwater.
Okay.
And I'm the individual that was referred to as having the first winery license in the state of Minnesota. That was 1971. And I think Ross covered most of the issues. It's very simple. I actually, after receiving a federal and state winery license in 71, I started to produce wine in Stillwater, but had to discontinue because there was no way to sell it. The distributors weren't interested in such a new product with no real support. And so I moved the winery to Wisconsin, where it was very successful, to St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin. And now I'm interested in micro distillery, and I would say it's exactly the same issue. You need to be able to sell product on premises, because that's your only contact with the public. You get a lot of public tours, a lot of tourism, and if you have an opportunity to sell two bottles, that's sufficient to at least generate some cash flow so you can go on. That's about all I have to say, I guess.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
And members, any questions for this testifier or any questions to the bill? Thank you, Representative Hamilton, if you have any final comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, so we have one more testifier. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed when you're ready.
My name is Nicholas Smith.
Okay. We heard you might be coming.
I did pre-register. I'm a researcher in the grape and wine industry here in Minnesota, as well as an ambassador for microdistillation. I am a member of the American Distilling Institute and just spent last week out in Portland, Oregon at their national meeting. They had 450 attendees at that meeting. Also had a great time in Portland, Oregon. They have a large number of distilleries and got to talk to a lot of their states, including New York, which changed their rules several years ago. They went from two distilleries in 2005. Now there's close to 20 licensed distilleries in the state of New York, providing a lot of jobs and opportunities for that state. What I'm here to say today is that Minnesota's current rules and regulations with the $30,000 year limit and its restrictions on direct sale are putting us at a disadvantage competitively for other states in this industry. You know, we're not here necessarily to increase the amount of alcohol sold. Our goal is to capture as much of that sales and keep it inside the state and use it for the producers and keep it for producers and job creation in Minnesota. Right now, a large influx of this money goes to Oregon, California, Colorado, and New York, as well as other countries. So our goal is very plausible and very feasible. We have all the resources to do distillation in the state of Minnesota. It really does not make a lot of sense to continue to support distilleries at the level we're supporting in other states. We should try to capture jobs, taxes, and agricultural use of our products here in Minnesota.
Thank you. Members, any questions for Mr. Smith? Representative Hamilton, thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We will lay House File 327 over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Liquor Bill. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Thank you, Representative Hamilton. Representative Beard, are you still down here? Here he comes. While Mr. Representative Beard is on his way, we are now officially legal. We have a quorum. If I could get somebody to move the minutes from the yesterday's meeting, I would appreciate it.
So moved.
Representative Dowd moves the meetings from April 12th. All those in favor of adopting the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Minutes are adopted. Thank you, Representative Dowd. Welcome, Representative Beard. I will move House File 889 so it is properly before us. If you could explain what it is and what it does and why we should like it, we would greatly appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, House File 889. Is very similar to a bill we had 2 or 3 years ago. Representative Biscuits carried for our friends at Elko Motor Speedway, which was in his district. Raceway Park is in the district I'm privileged to represent, City of Shakopee. The City of Shakopee apparently is out of licenses to issue for liquor establishment at a place such as Raceway Park and needs legislative approval in order to do that. The City Council's indicated they're willing to do so. Actually, it's the City Clerk, to be precise, indicated their willingness to license Raceway Park to sell liquor at their establishment. I assure you it's for the fans, not for the drivers, although that would be an interesting figure eight to watch if we're selling it to the drivers as well, members. But it is for the fans, and it is something that my friends from Raceway Park would like to have to complete their entertainment complement. With me today, if you need testimony, is Mr. John Hellendrink, the manager at Raceway Park, Mr. Chairman. Otherwise, I'm happy to stand for questions or hear you lay the bill over.
Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do they have demolition derbies there?
Are you offering to drive, Representative Mullery? Mr. Hellenrung, if you want to speak, you can certainly welcome. You're welcome to add anything you want to let us know of how we should be thinking about this bill.
We're hoping to open up more opportunities, obviously, from a marketing standpoint. Many of the distributors that would be supplying the additional products to us are interested in doing things with us. We do private parties in the park throughout the week. We have identically prepared race cars where groups of 30 or 40 can come out for a 2-3 hour session, experience driving our cars, race amongst their peers, and then afterwards, obviously, we like to offer the food and beverage. With surrounding entertainment venues all having the access of all the obvious liquors, it'd be nice to compete with those and offer the same thing as our competitors.
Thank you. Members, any questions? Any members, any questions? Representative Lilly?
Mr. Chair and Representative Beard, we had opportunity to visit as I was walking down. I was wondering if at the Shakopee Raceway, if all your customers would be able to have an opportunity to drink, or just the wealthiest ones that show up.
Probably just the wealthy ones. I'm kidding.
Appreciate your honest answer.
Mr. Hellenrung, we like that answer. Does that satisfy it?
Thank you.
Is anyone in the audience want to testify on this bill, either for or against, speak in favor, or voice opposition? If so, please come on down. Seeing nobody coming down, Representative Beard, if you want to have the final word on your bill.
Well, Mr. Chair, I can attest to the vibrancy of the entertainment at Raceway Park since they're a mile from my house, and I hear them every Friday and Sunday night during the summer, and it sounds like they're having a lot of fun down there. I'd appreciate your support.
Thank you very much. We will have House File 889 will be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus liquor bill. Thank you, Representative Beard,
and Mr. Chairman.
Representative Lewin, House File 703. Welcome, Representative Loon. If you would like to move your bill and get it in front of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would. I'd like to move House File 703 for the committee's consideration.
Okay. And Representative Loon, I know we have a delete all amendment. Do you want to offer that right now to get the bill in the shape you want it to be in, or do you want to discuss the bill first? Whatever you'd like to do, we're happy with.
Sure, Mr. Chair. I would like to offer the DE1 amendment.
Okay. Representative Loon offers the DE1 amendment. Representative Loon, if you want to go ahead and explain that, and if you want to have anybody else come down and help explain that or voice support for that, we would appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I think we do have a number of people who want to testify today, and I have asked them all to keep it fairly brief. The delete all amendment represents the embodiment of a compromise and really bringing all affected and interested parties to the table to discuss this proposal. As originally introduced, the House File 703 is very, very simple, just a few lines indicating that someone who holds a brewer's license could also be issued an on-sale license for the sale of beer brewed at that facility only. As part of the delete all amendment, again, some concerns have been raised about how this would impact the three-tier system, what type of an on-sale license this would be. I think the essence of it as well was whether or not this was something that was going to help sort of the craft brewing industry within Minnesota versus sort of very large breweries from around the nation or perhaps even around the world. And so the delete all amendment really kind of tightens up the language and makes it clear that the intention is to create what would be known as a taproom license, so really almost a new type of liquor license. It would have to be authorized by the municipality in which the brewery is located. It could be only one location that a brewery would be able to have a taproom. Again, they would have to go through all the same licensing for a liquor license that anyone else would, and only for the sale of beer brewed by that brewer on that site. That's in essence what the delete all amendment does.
Mm-hmm.
you know, if I know we have several testifiers. I don't know if Mr. Ansari wants to come down and add to that. Members, I'll just, while he's coming down, just give you a little bit of history of my involvement with this issue. And I must confess, I'm not a big beer drinker. but this, for me, really is a job spell. As Mr. Ansari may tell you, or he may not want to tell you, he started his Surly Brewing Company in 2006. It really has taken off, and I think there's a number of beer activists or beer enthusiasts here in the audience who can attest to that. His beer has won awards. It really has become kind of a phenomenon within the state. He's an entrepreneur that's been recognized as by Ernst & Young as one of the top entrepreneurs of the country in 2010. And he's got a vision for his business, which he'll tell you about. And in looking at where he'd like to go with his business, there was a problem with our liquor laws not accommodating that. So I feel like we've come to a point now where, again, the affected parties, the distributors, retailers and that, can take some comfort in the fact that they're not trying to compete. This is really an enhancement to businesses here in the state, will provide jobs, and it was really kind of a win-win situation for everyone. So that is where I'm sorry.
Please identify yourself for the record, and we'll get you on.
Omar Ansari, A-N-S-A-R-I. Thank you for having me here today, members of the committee. I am the founder and president of Surly Brewing Company, based in Brooklyn Center. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in favor of House File 703, which would allow breweries to sell pints of their own beer on premise. 5 years ago, we sold our first keg of beer. And when I first came up with the idea a couple years earlier of opening a brewery in Minnesota, I was told by some folks in the industry it would be a far better idea to open that brewery in Wisconsin, where the laws were much more favorable to a small brewery operating. Nonetheless, I decided to open the brewery, my company in Minnesota. I root for the Vikings, not the Packers. My opinions have not changed today, and we're looking to grow our business here in Minnesota and build a destination brewery is what we'd like to do, complete with a bar, restaurant, event center, and beer garden. But to do this, we need to be able to sell glasses of our own beer to patrons, and that's what House File 703 would do. It does not allow breweries to sell wine, liquor, or anyone else's beer, nor does it allow any beer to be brewed and sold at the brewery and taken off-site. So all the beer is to be bought at the brewery and drank there. Estimates say our new brewery would be a $20 million project, providing 85 construction jobs and up to 150 permanent jobs. And we're not asking for any tax breaks or public subsidies to build the new brewery in Minnesota, only the necessary changes in brewery licensing law. Today we could build this brewery in about half the states in the country, including Wisconsin, just a short 30 minutes from here. The changes we're asking for today aren't just for Surly. It's not a bill just for us, but it's also going to help existing breweries, and I also expect it would encourage more breweries to start up here in the state. And I think it would also help make Minnesota a craft beer state. I'd like people to come to Minnesota to visit our state's breweries, very similar to how people travel around the world to visit wineries. Beer tourism is becoming more and more popular, and people have a connection to their breweries and like to see where that beer is crafted. This bill is not an attempt to tear down the three-tier system. Minnesota law already allows Minnesota wineries to sell glasses of their wine at the winery, and the three-tier system is still intact. So why wouldn't we give Minnesota breweries that same opportunity? The more people enjoying Minnesota craft beer, the better, not only for the breweries, but for consumers, bars, and liquor stores. And that's why we have letters of support from those people representing those entities today. We've worked hard over the last several months to connect with all the concerned parties, and I believe the amended bill before you today is a good faith effort by small Minnesota breweries to address the concerns of others in the industry. And once again, pointing out that if we pass House File 703, we'll help grow businesses and create jobs without spending a dollar of public money. So now is the time for us and Minnesota beer to take the next step, and we need your help in doing that. So please pass House File 703. So we can create more jobs, add more tax revenue, and build something people will come from across the state, across the country, and hopefully around the world to visit.
All right. Thank you. Question, Representative Dietrich. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just looking at this handout, which is pretty impressive. And I'm looking at these nice steel containers. What are these called?
Those are fermenters. That's where the beer gets made.
Okay. So anyhow, I'm just looking at these fermenters, and I'm wondering where they're made. Are they made up on the Iron Range?
I'm not sure. Those
are. You weren't here. I had to do it for you.
We'll have Fulton address that question.
Sure,
I think that is
be.
Their handout.
I'm sure they could be.
I agree they could be.
Representative Mueller. I'll
have to take over now.
Mr. Chairman, what is it? Mr. Ansari?
Yep.
Is this the only way that we can get to have a beer from your really dark beer, the one that's darker than the Bender, without standing in line on some Saturday morning for 6 hours or something like this?
Well, you know, those this would be, I guess, another way. So, you know, those beers are available in the bars also. They go fast, but this would hopefully mean we could sell those at the brewery too.
Representative Mueller, Mr. Ansari, which bars? Because the Northside bars don't get that one; they get the other three. And since you're across the fence from the Northside,
well, there are a few. Travail over on the Northside and Victory 44. Those guys usually have those
Victory
beers.
Victory 44.
Oh yeah. I'll save you a glass this next year.
All right, Representative Slocum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My two daughters, who are adults, they're 31 and 29, and they live in your district, Representative Mullery.
Three blocks away.
Yeah, three blocks away from his house. They know where you live. They told me I'd better vote for this. This is one of the only bills they've ever lobbied me for.
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Ansari, how much do you brew now, and what's your trajectory, say, over the next, if you have that in your business plan, and maybe over the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, when we started 5 years ago, we sold about 1,600 kegs of beer. This last year, we sold around 24,000 kegs of beer. So in the next couple years, we'll max out our facility, probably around 40,000 kegs of beer. So if we can pass this file and we can build a new brewery, you know, then we'd be looking at, you know, over 100,000, 150,000 kegs of beer in a year. So it's kind of allows us to help us grow. So, and then we'll, you know, then we'll just see how much people are going to keep drinking that beer. Sometimes it's hard to figure out where it will end.
You have Mr. Chair, Mr. Ansari, and I don't know how if you'd necessarily consider the Summits and others' competitors. I was going to say, do you know how much your competitors are brewing? Mm-hmm. Perhaps it's all sort of symbiotic, but do you have a sense of what some of the other craft brewers are generating?
Yeah, I believe Summit and Shells, they may be here today, can answer that better than I, but I think they're around 70 to 90,000 barrels of beer, so that'd be 140 to 180,000 kegs of beer is around what they do, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Ansari, since we're looking for more businesses for North Minneapolis, do you mind if we, since you're right on just across the fence, do you mind if we annex you in?
Mr. Chair, I wouldn't mind.
Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I still didn't get an answer to my question. I want to know where those fermenters are made.
I did not. I guess our fermenters are not made in northern Minnesota.
Okay.
So.
Well, there's a little work for you.
Yes.
There.
Yes, there is.
Representative Anzel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Are the fermenters made in the good old United States of America?
They are not. The fermenters, the ones we've gotten recently, are made in China.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair. I assume there will be some jobs associated with this venture. Is that correct?
Correct.
And can I assume that they'll be good old American union jobs?
I guess we haven't addressed that to this point.
Okay.
Any other questions by members?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. One
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Ansari, I don't think this one is for you or for the author, more so maybe for Mr. McCormick, and that is on the delete all, lines 119, 120. You've got the 250,000 barrel portion of this amendment, and talks about how you can't issue a brewer taproom license if they exceed the 250,000 barrels. I don't know if these licenses are issued permanently or if they are renewed or whatever. I'm just, the reason I asked about the amount of barrels that they're generating right now is if they hopefully get to a point where they're generating 270,000 barrels, does that affect their ability to get or renew a license, or is it just something that they're grandfathered in? I'd hate to have them have to shut down the tap room and have all these things go away if they rolled over that. Is that
future liquor bill?
Yeah, Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chairman, currently the license is a Class C license for a brewer who manufactures more than 3,500 barrels per year, and there's no upper limit on that category. So, and it's an annual renewable license. So as I read this provision, and the municipality that issues the taproom license would issue it annually. So I think that you probably at some point want to have a grandfather provision in here to clarify that a taproom license holder who goes over $250,000 doesn't lose the taproom license.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. McCormick.
Are there any questions for members?
Yes.
Representative Enzel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Following my earlier questions, is the existing brewery facility unionized?
No, it's not.
All right. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify for or against the DE1 amendment? All right.
Coming down.
Okay.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to testify in support of House File 703. My name is Allison Hartle, and I represent August Shell Brewing Company, the 150-year-old brewing company from New Ulm, or out of New Ulm, and I represent Summit Brewing Company that turns 25 this year. I'm located in St. Paul. Mark Stutrud, the president and founder of Summit Brewing, and Ted Marty, the president of August Shell Brewing Company, say hello. They regret that they were not able to be here today. Both have spent many years informing the legislature, including commerce committees, on brewing and distributing issues. Summit and Shell supports House File 703 as it's been amended. Ted Marty and Mark Stutrud have invested numerous hours in dialogue and meetings with the folks from the Minnesota Beer Wholesalers Association, the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, the Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association, to build a sound consensus to support the sale of pints on premises. At this point, these organizations support this bill as it's been amended. I cannot overstate the compromises and concessions that were offered to get to this point, particularly the concessions made by the retail associations. I sincerely hope that you all understand the importance of having the consensus and support of industry allies and associations concerning the continued growth of Minnesota breweries. Any questions?
Yeah, thank you. Chairman Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure, I could have asked Representative Anzels, but he just stepped out. I'm wondering if any of these, the brewers that you just mentioned or any of the other brewers here today, I wonder if any of this beer is available on the Iron Range.
I believe that both Shell's and Summit is available on the Iron Range. And I would also like to, Mr. Chair, Representative Hoppe. Just to clarify, it's my understanding from recent conversations with Ted Marty and Mark Stutrud that that Shell Brewing Company last year did 92,000 barrels, and Summit did 98,000 barrels.
All right. Any questions for members? Are there others who'd like to testify regarding the D1 amendment? Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Dan Campo. I am representing the Minnesota Tavern League, and I also am the general manager of Southlandale Liquors wine shop and spirit shop in Minneapolis. Essentially, I'm just going to be really brief here. Reason I'm testifying today, when the bill first came out, it was fairly simply written, but it left open a lot of questions. So back in February, we approached Representative Loon and talked to her about a lot of these concerns, and I just wanted to compliment her because she has listened to what the Tavern League has said and has been really accommodating with the way the bill now is with the new amendment. So we wanted to thank her for that. Representative Mullery, you know that surly darkness I think you're referring to. Our store gets tons of it, but then of course you'd have to come to the south side of Minneapolis. So, but
I don't have a visa for that.
Obviously, the Tavern League, we support the bill now in its current form. We think it's really came a long way to answering some of those questions. If I put back on the hat as general manager of Southlandale Liquors, look, Surly's doing a great job with their beer. I think we're the third largest seller of their product. It's fantastic stuff, and so we just would like to see and support them in how they're moving forward. There's a lot of great breweries in Minnesota, and as they continue to evolve and grow, what we see is that the more outlets for this type of microbrew, craft brew, for people to taste them, that we end up with more business, and in essence, our book of beers has gone from, for example, 300 different beers 3 years ago to over 1,500 beers. So these things are really awesome, and we appreciate that. So thank you very much.
All right, questions from members?
Mr. Chair, if I could, I just wanted to give a special thank you to the Tavern League. Again, when I introduced this bill, it was kind of as a starting point for discussion. The Tavern League met with me early on, was very willing to discuss compromise and coming up with something that addressed some of their concerns. I just wanted to thank them for coming forward today.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to testify? All right, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Ryan Petz. I'm the co-founder and president of the Fulton Brewing Company. We started in a garage in a South Minneapolis neighborhood, and we're now building a brewery in downtown Minneapolis in the North Loop. I'm here also testifying in support of House File 703. I believe this bill is beneficial not only to individual breweries such as Surly or ourselves, but also to the entire craft brewing industry in Minnesota. Minnesota's craft beer industry is substantially underdeveloped in comparison to our peer states such as Colorado, Oregon, and Washington. In fact, those states each have approximately four times as many craft breweries as Minnesota does. And we believe this disparity is largely attributable to the breweries in those states being permitted to sell their beer for on-premise consumption, where we are not. So why are on-premise sales so important to a small brewery? Even small breweries are very expensive to build. It can take several years for a small brewery to build a large enough customer base just to break even. On-premise sales can significantly lower that barrier for a small brewery by providing the startup with a means to build awareness and customer loyalty. It supplies them with a dependable revenue stream to cover expenses early on, and also capital to invest in expansion and in hiring. To establish craft breweries, as craft breweries grow and get slightly larger, on-premise sales enable them to invest in beer gardens, restaurants, and event centers, and even really become tourist destinations, as Surly plans to. To our state, the growth of the craft brewing industry in Minnesota would really have wider benefits than just to the breweries themselves. with more jobs, tourism, and tax revenues, and even industry coming to Minnesota. So, Representative Dietrich, in answer to your earlier question, a lot of the tanks that we see and when you're going shopping for equipment are built in the Pacific Northwest, where this industry is really growing up much faster than it has here in Minnesota. And it's, again, those are the same states that we see with the laws that allow their breweries to sell on premise. So the brewing industry grew up there, and the support of collaborative industries grew up amongst them as well. That's all I have. Thank you for your consideration.
Right. Any questions from members? All right. Thank you, Mr. Batson. Another testifier. Welcome to the committee. Identify yourself for the record.
Hello, my name is Dan Schwartz, S-C-H-W-A-R-Z, and I'm the CEO and co-founder of Liftbridge Brewing Company out of Stillwater, Minnesota. I just wanted to let you know that I support House File 703, along with a lot of my fellow breweries. I'll just add a couple notes here. We recently completed a construction project in our brewery, putting in three of those fermenter tanks, and we used a lot of union tradespeople during the construction, including pipe fitters, electricians, plumbers, sheet metal workers, carpenters, and welders. We also, I know that this bill has a letter of support from the local carpenters union as well. In addition to some of those other the trades, we also have used a lot of local businesses in the Twin Cities and in the Stillwater area. We're also we're kind of unique in that we distribute to bars and restaurants and liquor stores. We have about 400 customers in the Twin Cities area. And we also use seven distributors as well. So we work very closely with all of those constituents. I also wanted to just note that this would allow us to help raise our brand awareness and to compete with other breweries that are coming in from out of state. And I think it will be really a nice boon for Minnesota. And that's all I have to add.
Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. Any questions for members? All right, thank you.
Could I add one more thing?
Please.
Sure. One more thing on the fermenters. There is a company in St. Cloud called DCI Incorporated that makes fermenters. I will be touring their facility tomorrow, actually, to look at their facility on tanks. Right now, they told me there is a 28-week waiting period for tanks because they're over capacity. So once they have approved plans, it's 28 weeks to receive those. So I think there is an opportunity for other businesses surrounding the craft brewing industry. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. Anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify? All right, thank you. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. My name is Scott Pompu. I am the owner of Corner Table Restaurant in South Minneapolis. We will be celebrating our seven-year anniversary in July. And the reason that I am in support of this may seem very strange to some people, because technically with what is being proposed, in the very basis of what they are wanting to do, they will be my competitor. I sell their beer, and now they would like to sell their beer on site. And I'm in support of that, because I think as a entrepreneur, as somebody who had the opportunity to open a business, a restaurant, the regulations were there, the licenses were there, everything was there. It was possible, and I was able to do that, and I am still able to do that. And I think one of the things that this addresses is that in our business environment right now, we want to do everything we can to encourage business. We want to encourage entrepreneurship. We want to encourage job creation. We want to encourage the possibility of people succeeding and lifting themselves up and running their own business. And I think that's what this really has a lot to do with. So the other side of my point that I wanted to make today is that I am someone who really hangs my hat on the word local. when you bring up questions about the Iron Range. We bring up questions about south side versus north side. I think what we're all forgetting is that this is the state of Minnesota. We're all on the same team. And whatever these gentlemen are trying to do, albeit particularly in the metro, which everybody looks at us in the metro as we get to do everything, what this allows for is the possibility that somebody maybe up on the range has this vision as well. Something tells me there's people that brew beer up on the range. And potentially...
we drink it.
And you drink it, yes. But potentially, they may want to do a similar thing up on the northern range, in southern Minnesota and Winona, where I'm from. And that's what this does. Tanks and building and industry, this affects everyone. So to me, as someone who has had the opportunity to really do something for myself, I support these guys wholeheartedly, even though 100% they are going to be my competition. I think it is the best way for business to succeed is to allow competition and free market to exist. So that's all I needed to say. Thank you.
Any questions from members? All right. Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify? Welcome, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, my name is Jason Alvey, A-L-V-E-Y. Thank you for allowing me to testify in favor of House File 703. I am the owner of a specialty beer store, a retail store called the Four Firkins in St. Louis Park. I believe that Minnesota is on the verge of becoming a major beer destination state, and the passing of this bill will open the door for that to happen. I want to talk a little bit about the concept of the competition here with liquor stores and restaurants. I think that the fact is any competition is going to be far outweighed by the thousands of new people who are attracted to the area because of these breweries being able to sell their own beer. If we use Surly's proposed $20 million destination brewery as an example, the construction of such a brewery would be an absolute must-see for beer tourism. A brewery like this would bring thousands and thousands of people to the area from all over the country, if not even the world. And the local businesses are bound to see many, many new customers. I wish that Surly would build their brewery a mile down the road from my store. I feel that the passing of this bill will be the tide that raises all ships. Minnesotan microbreweries are brewing world-class beer. Let's show the rest of the nation how proud we are of them. Let's release them from these shackles. I say let them grow. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions from members? Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to testify for or against? All right. Welcome to the committee.
Hi. My name is Andrew Schmidt. Here as a private citizen. You folks have heard a lot from brewers, from retailers, from restaurant owners. I'm here as a consumer today. I'm the guy who wants to go buy some Surly Darkness, to go have some Fulton beer, some Liftbridge. I'm the guy who wants to go enjoy a quality Minnesota product, and there's laws standing in the way of me and people of my ilk doing that right now. And so I'm here to speak for me and the rest of the consumers to ask for your support and let us do that.
All right, thank you. Any questions from members? All right, thank you, Mr. Schmidt. Anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify? All right, any questions from members?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Nelson.
I know there's a lot of joking going on around about from Representative Mulry about the location of this brewery, but it's in my Senate district, although in the other half of my Senate district. And I, too, had some concerns about the bill as it was originally proposed. While I do support Surly and have done that in the past and actually tried to carry some legislation to help them that I was told that wouldn't help them really because they were going to outgrow the bill I had a couple years ago. I do support the bill with the current amendment, and I think we should pass this. It's a good bill. It'll help the brewing industry in the state.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Joe Bagnoli, and I represent the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, the Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association. And over the last couple of months, a lot has been written about retailers' concerns about the proposal as originally outlined. And I just wanted to come and describe our concerns a little bit and describe our point of view as we are today. Retailers have never been opposed to competition. Our concern about this bill has been that it might lead to some unfair competition for us. As the legislation originally was introduced, it didn't apply to just one entity. It applied to all breweries that exist now and in the future. And as it introduced, it didn't just apply to small breweries, but it applied to large breweries, irrespective of size. Clearly, small breweries do not have the economies of scale to drive down their beer prices. However, large breweries do. Thus, retailers are concerned that a large brewer, if it decided to locate in close proximity to their bar, it could significantly impact their business by their ability to charge lower prices for beer. As introduced, this bill did not restrict the number of outlets either. Thus, as introduced, retailers were concerned that a large brewery could effectively set up breweries around the street with low-cost beer. I've just described our concerns, and I might remind you that our concerns are a little bit heightened because of the difficulties that bars have had over the past couple of years. I mentioned, not to relitigate, but just to remind you that of the recent history that bars and restaurants have faced in Minnesota. 0.08 in the last 5 years has come to pass, a smoking ban, increases in the minimum wage, hefty increases in beer prices by Budweiser and Miller, the worst economy of the last 50 years, and currently rising food prices. It is hard to be a bar or restaurant owner in this economy right now. Thus, I think retailers are a little bit more nervous to change. Change always makes folks nervous, as we all know, than perhaps they might be under other circumstances. Having outlined these concerns, we also realize, and this is important, that it's not unreasonable for a brewer to want to serve a couple of pints to people who visit their brewery, and importantly, get paid for it. Realizing that, the MLBA, the MMBA, beer wholesalers, and a variety of brewers in Minnesota engaged in a robust conversation about how this change could occur while attempting to address retailers' concerns. While we are not likely to ever be entirely comfortable with this legislation, over the last couple of weeks, we have shared some ideas with Representative Loon and others. And while not all of the ideas were adopted, we're happy that Representative Loon agreed to adopt a number of the concepts that helped to alleviate retailers' concerns. Under Representative Loon's Delete Everything Amendment, a brewer may only hold one tap room license. That is important and helps to alleviate our concerns. Under Representative Loon's amendment, it is explicit that a brewer who obtains the taproom license must comply with all state regulations related to alcohol. That's important to us as well. And finally, there is some cap on the size of brewery that might obtain such a license, which also helps to allay our concerns. I want to thank her for her willingness to make these changes. Finally, I want to say to all the breweries that are here today, and we have a lot of good breweries, and frankly, as a state, we are one of the richest in tradition in breweries in the United States, that we view you as our partners and hope that you view us as yours. We hope that you understand that our desires, that our concerns are not born out of a desire to squelch competition or make things more difficult for you to earn a livelihood. Rather, they are concerns that exist as a result of our experience over the past couple of years and are concerned that we do not set up a system that creates an unfair advantage. That's my testimony.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Any questions for members? Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else in the audience who wants to testify for or against? Yeah. Any further discussion amongst the members? All right. Yeah. All right. All those in favor of the DE1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Amendment is adopted. All right. Jennifer, Representative Loon, do you have any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we've had a number of testimonies, so I'll keep it very brief. I want to thank the committee for their attention and listening to this. Obviously, it's a very passionate issue for for a lot of people here and a lot of small businesses in particular. There's a great book, which I discovered in the research library, written by a Minnesotan, Doug Hoverson, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. It's called Land of Amber Waters. And I called the library to say, is there a book that kind of goes through the history of beer and beer making in Minnesota? And there is. It's fairly new. And I had just a little bit of time to review it. But beer has always been kind of a big business in terms of numbers of breweries and everything from the larger breweries to really tiny ones that don't distribute perhaps beyond 10 miles of where they make their beer, if you go back to when Minnesota was a territory. So what we're seeing now is really kind of a resurgence of that craft brewing. And as you've also heard, it is, in my opinion, and that of many other enthusiasts here, a great pathway to grow jobs right now, which our state desperately needs. Not only the brewers, but people who supply the equipment, people who may work in the breweries, people who may work in restaurants, people who distribute their beer to Minnesota and beyond. So, you know, I see this very clearly as a great jobs initiative, something we very much need right now, and a great way to really facilitate a great craft and craft brewing of beer in the state of Minnesota. So I thank the committee and would urge your support.
All right. Thank you. With that, Representative Lute renews her motion to adopt, to lay over House File 703 as amendment.
Thank you.
All right. We'll go to House File 448. I saw Representative Simon. There we go.
We've passed so many bills today, maybe we should just kill one.
All right. Welcome, Representative Simon. Perhaps the chair would like to move this bill.
I would like to move this bill, Mr. Chair. I would move that House File 448 be approved by the committee and laid over for inclusion in the possible inclusion in the omnibus liquor bill.
All right. Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Welcome. Chair and members. I know it's been a long afternoon, and thank you for hearing this bill, Chair Hoppe. House File 448 just adds a 14th item to the 13 already listed in statute in Section 348.412. This is the list of stuff that liquor stores can sell. And conspicuously absent is something that I just would have, and I'm sure most of our constituents would have assumed, was on the list and was okay to sell, which is clothing bearing the logo of the actual store. And this bill came to me by a gentleman here, Jason Albee, who you've already heard from, I understand, on the prior bill. I didn't see his testimony, but he is a business owner in my district in St. Louis Park. He owns the Four Firkins, which is a specialty craft beer store. And I didn't know, frankly, until I got involved in this bill, just how widely known and respected he is and his store is. I've had people call me from all over Minnesota saying they support this bill, and in large part because they've been to Mr. Albee's store. So the idea is just let them sell clothing. And so we clothing bearing their logo. And so we crafted the bill quite narrowly. We didn't want to run, you know, get on the bad side of clothing retailers. We're not trying to look for a loophole where you can have a tiny logo of a liquor store and really you're selling, you know, some other clothing line. It's just if someone owns a liquor store and they want to have a cap or a pair of shorts or a t-shirt or something like that bearing a logo of that liquor store, that ought to be okay. That's the bill, but you'd hear from the person who actually pays the bills every day at a liquor store to find out why it's necessary.
All right. Mr. Albee, welcome again.
Thank you. Thank you again, Mr. Chair. So, as you know, I own a specialty beer store called the Four Firkins. I'm the only owner. I started it with nothing and have grown it into a successful, vibrant business with a large following of very loyal customers and friends. We've become part of the community by sponsoring various sporting teams, giving to charities, and supporting local police events. Needless to say, I'm very proud of my business. However, we are not unique. All over this state, there are small family-owned liquor stores like mine who have loyal customer bases and provide not only beer, wine, and liquor, but also revenue and donation dollars to their cities. Our customers and friends enjoy our store so much that they often ask us if they can buy a Four Firkins t-shirt or a cycling jersey or something like that. And I'm sure plenty of other family-owned liquor stores get the same request. Currently, this is illegal for me to do. To be very clear, I'm not asking to sell Surly shirts or Summit shirts. All I want to do is be able to sell shirts that are branded with the Four Firkins store logo on them, just like bars and breweries can already do right now. We had a letter of opposition from the Minnesota Grocers Association. They state that if we wanted to sell clothing, we should open attached merchandise stores with separate entrance, just like they have to do with liquor right now. They apparently don't understand what we want to do. We don't want to sell socks, underwear, lingerie, Levi jeans, or shoes. All we want to do is sell store-branded shirts and maybe a hat, which would serve to advertise the specific store in question. Grocery stores already own fully stocked liquor stores with separate entrances, so they already do compete with liquor stores directly. I don't understand how they can argue that this bill would somehow be unfair. The repeal of this law would mean that small family-owned liquor stores would have another avenue to promote their business without the extremely high cost and commitment of advertising. A branded shirt or a cycling jersey is very effective. Generally, the person wearing such a shirt will be able to speak positively of the store in question if asked. A personal recommendation is always far better than print ads or other media. It's also a matter of pride. Small business owners like myself take a great deal of pride in what we do, and to have a customer actually want to wear a shirt bearing our logo is just about the best kind of praise we could ever hope to receive. I ask you to do away with this old law and let small business owners like myself and hundreds of others around this state proudly sell our own branded apparel. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Alvey. Any questions from members? Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chairman, where do you live?
I live in North Minneapolis.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to point out this is a good day. We're tying beer to North Minneapolis. So sounds very good.
Thank you. Representative Anzell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, to the entrepreneur here, it sounds like you really have a good thing going here. I would just caution you just a bit, since your author is an Iron Ranger, it would be very, very wise to make sure that the merchandise is made in the USA.
We're absolutely on board with that. Yep.
All right. Any other members' questions? Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to testify before or against House File 448? Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Nathan Strong, Strong. I'm part owner of Strong Liquor in Minnetonka, a full-service liquor store, and I'm here in support of this bill. Since opening my doors in 2007, we're proud to report increased sales every year, as well as increased loyal customers. On multiple occasions around the store, I'm proud to say I've heard people say that they have come from surrounding cities even, and some from Wisconsin. I'm very proud of what I do. Buy local is also a phrase you hear more and more. I think I just heard it 20 minutes ago as well. Allowing Strong Liquor and other small liquor stores to sell branded t-shirts would allow a new avenue for revenue and allow my advertising to reach a lot further than my current budget allows. I want to have the same opportunity as the bars and breweries in Minnesota who sell their own t-shirts already. I also live in North Minneapolis.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, man.
Whoa.
You want beer.
And the last time I ordered t-shirts for my friends, not to be sold in my store, I bought them from a local guy in St. Louis Park.
Hey.
Right. Thank you. Any questions from members? All right. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify for or against this bill? Yeah, Representative Simon, any closing comments?
Just thank you for your support. I hope this ends up in the bill. Thank
All
you.
Right. All right. Chair Hoppe renews his motion to lay over House File 448 for possible inclusion in the omnibus. All right. I guess that is it for today. The meeting is adjourned.